not. You got someone you love in the hospital and you don't know what to do. After I get done with everything, you'll be so strong. And like I said, I mean, your faith should be building even now. This is the third one. So I'm sticking with this teaching until it's finished. And in your minds, like I said, there'll never be a question. Does God heal? Yes, he does. You'll know what to do immediately. What to say, what scriptures to stand on. Now, I'm just going to tell you, she's getting ready to put some stuff up on the board. If you're going to write things down, this is what you're going to write down. And what scriptures stand on when the enemy comes knocking. So I didn't learn this overnight, but by necessity. I've lived it. I've raised my kids by it. And now I'm quoting scriptures over myself. And I'm winning. But the first thing we must do to experience the divine healing and health Christ provided for us, like Joy said on the cross, is to renew our mind. This thing up here. To the truth. Which means getting rid of any lingering ideas of unbelief and filling our mind with God's instead. The second thing we must do is to align our heart and our mouth so that what we believe and what we are speaking are in sync with God's will for our lives. Now, if you've never heard teaching on the laws of confession, I've got you covered. You don't have to go looking them up. These are free. We've got a library back there that's free. So if you've never heard that, I've got you covered. Here's the scriptures. God's creative power. It's what we said. What we teach here. So regardless of why people get sick, God in His great mercy has provided at the cross everything necessary for us to be healed and to walk in divine health along with Him. Here are 10 specific ways, here we go, to appreciate what Jesus purchased for us on the cross. Number one, renewing your mind to the truth. Renewing your mind to the truth. Number two, aligning your heart and your mouth. Aligning your heart and your mouth. Number three, holding fast to your confession. Holding fast to your confession. Number four, letting patience do its work. Letting patience do its work. Number five, this is important, asking God for clarification. Asking God for clarification. Number six, stay in unwavering faith. Staying in unwavering faith. Number seven, laying hands on the sick. Number eight, this one's a little longer. Letting the gifts of healing and the working of miracles do their work. Letting the gifts of healing and the working of miracles do their work. Number nine, taking communion to receive healing. Taking communion to receive healing. And number 10, calling for the elders to pray with the anointing of oil to receive healing. Calling for the elders to pray with the anointing of oil to receive healing. Now, I'm not going over all those today. I'm going to break those down where it's easily understood, but I'm going to go over some. So all 10 of these points being active in your life is vital for us to experience the healing promise that belong to us and through the redemptive work of the cross. I'm going to give you a closer look at each point. I'll just do a few today. Number one, renewing your mind to the truth. Last week that we saw, Jesus did so much more than just purchase forgiveness of sin, peace of mind, and eternity for all this. So Lauren, go ahead and give me Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So great salvation can be translated, so great deliverance. We have been delivered. Praise God. But it's up to us to dig into scriptures on healing. I've also got you covered. Some sweet Charles Katz did this for you. On healing scriptures, these are free. Come get them. Not now. If we have lingering thoughts of doubt and unbelief about what Jesus purchased for us on the cross, the devil can latch hold of those thoughts and those things and use them to entangle you and prevent you from obtaining the health that God intends for you to enjoy in your life. Ephesians 6:7, that's not Lawrence, tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. Salvation represents everything. We know that. It's not just fire insurance. It's everything Jesus purchased for us. The fact that it is called the helmet of salvation indicates our salvation is like a soldier's helmet, a Roman soldier's helmet, that was made to totally protect one's head. We are to wrap our minds around understanding every facet of our salvation, including forgiveness of sin, deliverance, removal of guilt and shame, as well as healing, wholeness in every area of our lives. That includes finances. It includes all that. We're to wrap our mind around that and then put on the helmet of salvation, because that is the salvation. The devil would love more than anything to eliminate your belief. Healing, prosperity, and soundness of mind were accomplished through Christ's redemptive work and leave you believing in nothing other than eternity. He doesn't mind if you have eternity, but he wants to make sure you don't experience anything else Jesus paid for on the cross. Why? Because it sets people free. Oh, well, they can go to heaven. But boy, if they get a hold of something, they will be like a fire that can't be put out. That's what he doesn't want. No matter what we may have heard in the past from family, from friends, or past church affiliations, that's wrong thinking. We must replace them with the truth of God's word. It did not pass away with the last apostle. It did not. I know that that's taught. It did not. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, to gird up the loins of your mind. And so, Peter, so many things in that time, you know, they talked about that time. We'd be talking about other things. Our phones, our drones, blah, blah, blah. We'd be relate things to that. But this was like running a race. Games were big there. And if a man was running, when you gird up your loins, that means there was tassels down. And if you didn't gird up your loins and you take it down and it was long enough and you'd stick it in your belt, or you would trip. It would trip you up. You would eventually get tangled in those tassels. So if we don't take care of the loose and dangling ends, that's what it is, the loins of your mind, and thinking it will, in those wrong thoughts and that thinking, it will hinder our ability to experience what belongs to us in Christ. So that, when you see, gird up your, the loins of your mind, the loins of your mind. Girding up your loins can also mean this. You need to choose a new set of friends if they're negative. You need to surround yourself with people who speak faith-filled words of healing, health. Friends like that can actually save your life. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. There are downers and there are drainers and downers. You know what I mean? Then there are filler ups and bring you hope and bring you faith. There's always friends who will one-up you. You know what I mean? Man, that was a hard pregnancy. I mean, to tell you, I did this, I did that, and this happened to me, and that happened. Kinsey's talking to someone, and that happened to me. And, you know, she just wants some encouragement on that. And she talks to another one. Oh, that's nothing. Let me tell you about mine. I had one leg broke, you know, while I was doing it. My foot went out of joint, and I had, you know what I'm saying? You don't need those kind of friends. You don't need them. And if they're not lifting you up and say, Kinsey, look around. Everybody here got the same way. Got here the same way. Through that. Everybody, and you can do it too. God will be with you. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's new to her, but it's not new to him. It's not new to me. It's not new, you know, everybody's had a baby. So that's how we encourage her. Oh, Kinsey, you can do this. I have not heard that girl be anything but positive. Listen to her talk. It's like, oh good. You know, it's a baby too. Anyway, all right. I'm sorry. Sorry. All right. Stay away from those kind of people. That you know, those ones that try to un-up you. Or let me tell you what. Here's another drainer. I don't know if any of you have experienced this. And I'm specifically thinking, I just have to watch. I don't call names. But, you know, you can minister to people on the phone. Like Jason. You can minister to them. You tell them from the world exactly. Answer, you just giving them a gold mine. They call the next day. We don't do that. You know what we talked about the other day? It just happened to me, and that happened to me, and I... Did you do what I said? No, but I need you to tell you this. But did you do what I said? No. They're doing it for 3 months solid. They're doing that. There comes a time... If they're not going to listen and you just need to be their waste basket, then it's time to. Or you can say, I'm going to tell you one last time. You need, this is what the Word of God says. You're calling me for answers. Here's the Word of God. Now, if you don't do this, don't call me again with that same problem. You call me after you've done that. You let God work and work that out for you. Then call me and give me the story. Don't let someone drain your battery. Okay. Now I'm not talking one or two times. I'm not talking that. If you know what I mean. Okay. All right. Those are the drainers. Uh-oh, Dina's been. All right. Number two, aligning your heart and mouth. And I'm going to give you the familiar scripture, Mark 11:23. I love this scripture. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. There we go. Jesus didn't say whatever we think. That's what Jake was saying about this mountain. You can't think it and fight it with thoughts. That's just what he said. Everybody has stepped on my message today, and I don't appreciate it. It says, say or saith three times. Whatever. Everybody say whatever. You are facing, we can speak to that mountain, tell it to move, and if you don't doubt in your heart, whatsoever it is that's hindering or assaulting you can be removed. Whatsoever. Now don't start thinking, yeah, but it didn't mean that. Don't do that. Don't put limitations on this. That's about that. Now let me tell you who said that. That was not Kenneth Hagin's. That was Jesus himself who said this to us. That said in Mark 11:23. When your mouth and your heart are in alignment with each other, you become a mighty conduit through which powers moves, and that power can move any mountain they speak to. Notice Jesus said, if a person says something, and shall not doubt in his heart. He will have what he says. In other words, if he really believes the words that are coming out of his mouth and doesn't doubt in his heart, he will receive exactly what he says. This word doubt means to differ or waver. When your heart and mouth are working together in harmony, it will bring to pass what you're believing for. Amen. When they both are not in agreement, it's just an empty confession that won't produce what you are praying. They must be in alignment. They've got to be in alignment. In the context of receiving healing for your body or mind, if you really believe your heart that Christ purchased your healing on the cross, and you put your heartfelt faith together with the confession of your mouth, that combination will detonate a divine power that literally brings the healing you are believing for into manifestation in your body and in your mind. Honestly, this can go positive or negative for a person if you believe and speak negative. The results are what you believe and speak. I've said this so many times. Now, for me personally, this was never too difficult for me to believe. Growing up, nothing. I was a blank slate. Nothing. Nada. Nothing. When I sat under Faith Chapel's first pastor, Bruce Hensley, and he taught on these very words, I just simply believed him. I just believed it. I'm a Missouri girl. I'm a show me girl. And when he would be able to prove it in the Bible, like a lawyer, and I could go there and I could see it. Now, it wasn't like, da-da, you know, you have to meditate on that. And then God showed me. I mean, he proved it in my body. He proved it in the Word, and I believed it, and it worked, period. It's just, I didn't get the negatives. I didn't get the older church. I didn't go to church, so I didn't get that old stuff. So it's just a way of life for me, my family, and we take Proverbs 18:21 very seriously. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. In other words, you get what you say. That's it. That's the translation. And you'll enjoy the negative or you'll enjoy the good. So now listen to this. Of course, I am not suggesting for even a moment that you should ignore a medical report. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it. It's just not the final word. Listen to your doctor and follow these orders until you know what you know. I'm not saying don't take your medicine. I'm saying when you do take your medicine, that medicine does its work. It doesn't do anything else to my body, but it does exactly what it was intended. Okay? I'm not against doctors. Everybody say, okay, Terry. All right. Or medicine. However, when you're filled with the truth of scriptures, you can face the grimmest prognosis with faith because you know what the Bible says and it undergirds you despite what the doctor says. Eventually, you're going to override the report that's been given to you through faith-filled words of your mouth. It will change. It will change. Always remember, it was Jesus who said, when your heart and mouth get into agreement, you can speak to any mountain and tell it to move, and it will move. It will move. Physical illness, disease, mental as well as mental illness and emotional struggles. Have your heart so full of God's word that there's no room for doubt. There are people right here, right now, I'm not even going to let them do it, who could stand and shout amen and tell of wondrous victories because they have done exactly that. Amen? Amen. It truly is a great salvation. It's a great salvation. So, number three, holding fast to your confession. That's Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The New Living Testament says this. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. When we get full of the word and speaking the word of God, we don't see changes or signs of change, sometimes we can be tempted to stop speaking God's word and get up. Didn't work for me. Might have worked for her. He might have worked for me. Not quite Terry's. That's why he urges us to hold fast. In the King James, I said, I think it's called the profession of our faith. Hold fast to the profession of our faith. So hold fast, seizing something, this is what it means, with all one's might and keeping it firmly, under one's control to ensure it never escapes him. Kid tried to get you, they're acting bad. And said, I want to go. Nope. And you just hold them sometimes. You've got to hold on to it. Someone who finds the object of his dreams and then holds it down, taking control of it. This is what it means. Dominating it, even setting on it so it doesn't slip away. Someone's believing him for his business to grow into the multi-million dollar jobs. It's his dream. When you hold fast to your confession, you have to set on it to keep it from leaving you. That's what that means. Hold fast. God literally wants us to set and put all of our weight on top of those promises so they don't get away. And you don't say, well, I tried it 3 whole months. 3 whole months. Didn't work. It could be read. And let us hold fast to our confession tightly, wrapping our arms around it and embracing it with all our might. It's called bulldog faith. Profession, that says confession, confession, profession. Here is not a real good translation in the King. It's a picture of agreement or harmonization, as in when we get in the Word of God and get into agreement, we're in sync and aligned with God. There comes a time, I can't tell you how many times revelation knowledge has come. I like to say it like this. It's when a light bulb turns on inside my head. You can sit under a ministry for a long time and they might talk about something and you can agree with it. It's not like it's turned on. It's not like, oh, I get it. And you get excited about it because now the light bulb's on. The darkness is gone. And I've done that with scriptures I didn't understand. I've done that with teaching I've not understood. But when you get it, you go over notes. And you can't be talked out of it. When our heart and mouth get into agreement with what God has said in His Word, we are on the same frame of mind as God is. When you're saying His Word, you're right there with Him. You and God are thinking the same thing, saying the same thing, seeing the same thing, and feeling the same thing. Sometimes when you say stuff, say, is God saying that? No, don't say it anymore. Repent. We are completely united with Him on the issues such as health and healing. This is what it means to confess God's Word. You and God are experiencing the situation in the same way, through our thoughts and words and perceptions. Matthew 12:34 says this, for out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. You got healing in your scriptures. They're big inside of you. That's what's going to come out. To get the right faith-filled words coming out of your mouth begins with your heart, not your mouth. Starts here, then comes out. You fill your heart with God's word, and it spills out of your mouth. Can't help but speak His word over your life and situation and experience great results. In fact, it starts to feel and sound wrong to speak negative over yourself. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's just some things I just couldn't do. I don't even want to kid about it. A man said, this verse is our instruction to hold fast to our faith-filled confession without giving in. Giving up, bending, breaking, or lying down on what we have promised. Those who give up, give in, and go on to bed with their faith miss out on receiving the manifestation of God's promise. Dig in. It may take a while. I'm not going to lie to you. For that promise to come into manifestation. But if you will fill your heart and mind with the truth of God's word about healing and health. It could be finances. It could be about anything. Renew your mind to it and hold fast to your confession of faith. God assures you that that perseverance will lead to tangible outcomes. He assures us. No matter your feelings, your contrary thoughts, voices in your head, or negative people, and no matter how big the circumstance you are believing for, stand your ground. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. Thoughts will come. This is stupid. Very stupid. I don't know. That'll come, maybe. And then you say, no, I'm not going to meditate on that. God said, just do like Jesus did. But God said, the word says this. The last one I'll cover today is letting patience do its work. James 1:3. Thank you. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing this. Really, this is how it's translated in the Greek. Knowing. Your knower knows. To really know and always know, we are to keep at it in the forefront of our mind and never forget it. Never forget the word of God, what you're believing for. What is James urging us strongly to know and never forget? That the trying of your faith works patience. Now, I'm going to break this down to you because I don't like patience too much. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to fix it for you. Fix it. To be clear, the trying of your faith is not, everybody say, is not induced by God. It's not. It's not God. He already knows where your faith is. You know why? He's all-knowing. He doesn't need to try you to know where your faith is. He knows exactly where Dina's faith is. It is the devil that comes to test your faith, not God. Not God. When we make a declaration of faith, a bold confession that you are going to receive that healing and walk in divine health, the devil hears it. He's not all-knowing. God's all-knowing. He's not. But he can hear what you say. That's why it's important. What you say, your faith-filled confession. Because of your confession of faith, he devises. So, did you hear what she said? Hey, demons, hey, you know what? We're talking about squirts here, okay? Let's not give them, you know, we're not talking about angels with their heads out the building. We're talking about squirts. Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what Terry said there? She thinks she's got something. Your faith-filled confessions, but he also, when you do this, he devises, when you start speaking negative, he devises this test to see if what you have claimed or confessed of faith, very often you will come under assault. In other words, when you begin to make a stand for your finances, for your faith, for your health, for your children, for blah, 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 whatever, he's going to come along and test that. He can say something ugly about your kids. You hear what they did this. He'll do that and get your faith confession off of that. Example, a Christian that never had a financial problem in his life. But when they begin to declare, I'm going to give my tithe, and God is going to open the windows of heaven and pour a little blessing that you cannot contain. Suddenly, financiality. Why? The devil has heard your confession and now he's come along to test you and see how serious you are about what you say and believe. Not always, but it could happen. We have to be prepared for the devil's attacks. Rather than panic, we are to run to God for strength and seize the opportunity to show the enemy we are serious about our confession of God's word. If we will push back and not surrender, the Bible says, the trying of your faith will be patience. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, you guys have heard this Greek word before. It's my favorite Greek word I think of all time. But patience in Greek is one of my favorite words. Now, I've looked this up. I've heard people pronounce this. Just give me grace, okay, on this. This is how it's easier for me to say it. Hupomone. H-O-P-O-M-O-N-E. And you emphasize the E as an A. It means to defiantly stick it out regardless of the pressure mounted against it. To keep a position, to remain in one's spot, and to stay put. That's Hupomone. Staying power. Lark, did I give you that to type up there? H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. You didn't? Okay. It's staying power. Or hang in there power. It holds on. It outlasts. It never gives up. Turning down every opportunity to quit. Hupomone, translated as patience, pictures one who is under a heavy load, but refuses to bend, break, or surrender because he is convinced that the territory promised him, or principles under, or principle under assault rightfully belongs to him. You know what you know. Hupomone. I've got that. That's on my nightstand. So when you make a stand and confess by faith, I'm healed. I walk in divine health. I'm whole. The enemy will come and test you. Not God. It's not God. Don't let go and stop declaring God's word. Press into his presence and determine not to budge an inch. Can anybody say, I've been there? Thank you. When we push back against symptoms and the thoughts of the enemy with the spoken word of God and hold fast to our confession, God himself joins himself to you. I got that rope out in my car, right by my driver's side. It's Gavin's, one of his lead ropes. It's blue. And sometimes I'll just, because I know God has joined himself to me. And fills your being from the top to the bottom with Hupomone, the supernatural ability to stay until we receive the manifestation of his promise. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't leave you alone. You just got to stick with him. And he's right there with you to supernaturally fill you with this. It's essential that we have patience, that we have Hupomone, to experience healing and walk in divine health, to walk in divine health. You're not alone. God is with you and promised you victory. Just don't give up. Sickness, lack, disease, mental anguish, anxiety, the uglies, just the uglies, are all from the enemy. God. God did not create or give any to his children. So if it belongs to the devil, why would we accept it into our lives and say, well, that's just the way it is. No, it doesn't belong to you. Just cause it was that way with mama and daddy. Daddy had a heart attack. Mama had cancer. That's a different choice. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Go read Galatians chapter 3. It's not your heart disease. It's not your diabetes. It's not your overweight and I can't lose. It's not your anxiety. It's not your dementia. It's not your loneliness. It's not your lack of finances. Who does that belong to? It's the enemy. It's the enemy. We open the door with our minds and maybe we haven't been taught this. But don't take it from the devil. Don't accept it. Say, oh, well, anxiety. Oh, yeah, give me some diabetes there. Don't do that. But don't give it all back to him and send it straight to hell where it belongs. It's him. Jesus paid a great price to free us and redeem it. That's why I never say my diabetes, my heart disease, my arthritis, or man, there's just lack. I never call it mine. I never say mine. You know, I'm not denying it, but you can say, well, you know, there has been heart disease in my family, but I'm redeemed from it. You could say, well, they did detect this, but I'm not going to claim to put it in my pocket and carry it around like it's mine. Yep, that's my disease. No. That's why what we say matters. I'm just redeemed from it. I'm not trying to get us to say things that aren't true. Yeah, I've been diagnosed with it, but Jesus overcame it at the cross, the blood of the Lamb. And that's what's working inside of me. Oh yeah, but you say, well, you know, I've told you this before. My daddy died at 59, my mama died at 62, I probably won't live to be 63. Why not? You're claiming. I mean, I'm going to Psalms 103. With a long life, I'll be satisfied. He'll show me his salvation. When he says he'll show me his salvation, what does salvation include? Long life, satisfied life, health, healing, wholeness. I'm going to be like Charles Capps. I'll call y'all. And if anybody's interested, just let me know. And I'll let you know when I'm leaving. That's when I'm going. Unless the Lord comes, which I'm really counting on that. Okay. Anybody got any questions? Now, if I stepped on anybody's toes, I didn't mean to. Sorry.